I speak in the name of God, His Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. You'd like to be seated. Very warm welcome to you all, and it's good to be here. Very grateful to Brittany and to Jake for that reminder. It's a great shame, actually, the puppets were here, and there were children over here who couldn't see the puppets. So next time, I think we'll put the puppets over that side, or else you can sit over this side and make sure you can see it. But it was a brilliant sketch. Thank you very much for that, reminding us that Advent is a time for getting ready and looking forward to the coming of Jesus, not just to Christmas presents. And the sermon this morning is a story to help us all think about that a little bit more. It's really a story for the grown-ups, if I'm completely honest. So I hope they're all sitting comfortably. And whilst I'm talking about sitting comfortably, I promise that if you were very good in St. Mary's, that the cushions would gradually creep up the church. And clearly, the people who are sitting in the back section of the front part of the church have been very good, because you're sitting on lovely cushions. The people at the back have got a little bit more impressing of Santa to do between now and Christmas, and we'll see how you get on. But gradually, a huge thanks to the friends for helping us all to sit comfortably. So this is Sitting Comfortably and a story for Advent. The story is called The Keeper of the Stream. The story concerns a small Austrian town high in the Alps that straddled the banks of a beautiful stream. The stream was fed by springs that were as old as the earth and as cool and clear as crystal. High in the mountain forest, far beyond anyone's sight, lived an old man who served as keeper of the stream. This man had been hired so long ago that no one could now remember a time when he wasn't there. His job for the town council was to clear away any debris, any rubbish, from the springs and pools of water way up in the mountains that fed the stream that flowed down through their town. With faithful regularity, the keeper of the stream carried out his duties, traversing hill slopes and ravines in all weathers, removing the leaves, the branches, and the silt that could contaminate the fresh flow of water. As a result of his unseen work, the town possessed such a beautiful, clear stream that it became a popular attraction for tourists and visitors from all over the area. Years passed, and one evening the town council met for its annual meeting. As the council members looked over the budget, one councillor began to question the salary being paid to this obscure keeper of the stream. He questioned why they kept the old man on year after year with no supervision or proper appraisal in place. Because of this council member's persistence and a general mood for austerity, the council agreed that the old man's services were a luxury they could no longer afford, and they voted to cut the budget and tell him he was no longer needed. So the old man left his post. High in the mountains, the springs went untended. Now, for several weeks, nothing happened, and the members of the town council congratulated themselves on their savings for taxpayers. Thought they were likely to get elected again next time. By early autumn, however, the trees began to shed their leaves. Twigs and branches snapped off and fell into the pools, and mud and silt began to compact the stream bed, impeding the flow of water. Rollicking rapids with sprays of white water gradually lost their crisp scent and turned sluggish and green. Before long, it seemed there were less birds and fish to be seen. And then one afternoon, someone noticed a slightly yellowish tint in the town water. Within a few weeks, a slimy film covered sections of the water along the banks, and a foul smell of brackish began to waft in the air. Tourists to the little town reduced in numbers, and eventually, some of the residents began to get ill. The town council was forced to call a special meeting. Realizing their mistake, they quickly amended the budget, found the money, and rehired the keeper of the stream. Within a few weeks, his steady diligence had cleaned out the springs and gullies once more. The stream was sparkling joyously as before, and the little town returned to life again. And that is the end of the story. The life of the town depended on the health of the stream. Now, this story, of course, is written as a parable. So, who do you think played the part of John the Baptist in that story? Anybody want to venture? Who was playing the part of John the Baptist? Anybody? Don't be shy. It's for children and it's for grown-ups. Any grown-ups have any idea who was playing the role of John the Baptist, if that's a parable? The keeper of the stream. Well, it was actually a trick question, because John the Baptist was actually me in that story. Because I'm announcing this story to you this morning, and I will munch a locust later. But I reworked the parable from a story in this fantastic book, Soul Keeping, by John Ortberg. And Ortberg says, the stream in the story is your soul. So who is the keeper of the stream? This is actually something for you to think about. If the stream is your soul, who is the keeper of the stream? Anybody want to answer that? Yourself. Absolutely. Thank you very much. The stream in this parable is your soul, and you are the keeper of it. As we take stock of our lives this Advent, my point this morning is that this season of watching and waiting is a time for us to review our spiritual budget. You will get another opportunity in Lent, early in the new year. But like the town council who decide priorities in the story, I ask this morning, have you and I been making shortcuts with the health and care of our soul that have had an impact on our lives? For each one of us to prayerfully ponder. They may be cuts that on the surface of things don't seem to matter that much, at least not compared to the impressive overall scheme of our busy lives, which are set to get busier and busier in the next few weeks. We may have cut out our own devotional time or space for solitary reflection. How is that in your life? I ask this morning. Maybe our regular church attendance has been falling off a bit. Maybe no one else has even noticed much yet, and we seem mostly to have coped okay with life's stresses and strains so far. But without those moments that serve to purge our souls of spiritual debris, the truth is that our souls are in danger of getting clogged. So clogged that gradually we lose our sparkle, lose our joy, our health of body, mind and spirit. If you sense the danger, it is a real danger for all of us. I'm here as John the Baptist to bring you good news this morning. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. This is the perfect time, this season of Advent, for each of us to take up our proper duties once again as keeper of the stream. I might be mixing metaphors and parables slightly, but one of our jobs this Advent, surely, is to preach this gospel into our own lives. Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good tidings. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good tidings. Lift it up, do not fear. It's your job to preach to yourself. Say to the cities of Judah, to the town council of your mind and will, if you like, here is your God. See, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. His reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom and gently lead the mother sheep. May you and I take seriously the call this morning to make his paths straight, to welcome his coming. May our souls be unclogged and refreshed as his chosen vessels, as we take up our responsibility as keeper of the stream, that through us his rich blessings may flow out to the world. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.